The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Welcome to this week's Soap Opera Digest. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Pete Peek, reading today from the November 17th, 2025 issue of Soap Opera Digest to keep you up to date on all of your favorite characters and soap opera news. In our first story today, the tune-in alert, General Hospital spoilers, This Is What Happens When You Betray Me, by Michelle Parkerton. Phone a friend. According to the General Hospital spoilers promo for the week of November the 17th, the fallout from Rocco's arraignment is on Sonny's mind, and it seems still reeling from the new evidence that was introduced, making the charges against his grandson much more serious. The promo opens with Sonny speaking with ADA Turner in a hallway of the courthouse. You and I both know he's framing my grandson, Sonny insists to Justine, as Professor Dalton is seen speaking with someone and nodding confidently. Will Sonny be able to use his friendship with Justine to his advantage and get Rocco off the hook? Or will the district attorney's office make an example out of the teenager because of his connection to the town's mayor and acting police commissioner? Busted? In the next part of this week's promo, the video shows Michael and a smiling Jacinda as Chase delivers a blow that could potentially upend Michael's life. Michael gave the police a false alibi, the detective eagerly proclaims, and I can prove it. What evidence has Chase found in his quest to exonerate Willow? Crossed lines. Next, Sidwell is heard making good on a threat, but which of his many rivals and associates is he directing his told-you-so to? This is what happens when you betray me, the businessman declares, as the video comes to an end, flashing to several characters. First, Lulu is with Dante in the commissioner's office, and she whips her head around to look back at her ex-husband. Have they received some more bad news regarding Rocco's legal troubles? Another clip shows Jocelyn, her mouth open in shock. Did she uncover something that can be used in the WSB's investigation? Then, Britt is seen in bed, the sheets pulled up around her as tears streak down her face, and Carly closes her eyes in the next frame. Has the mama bear received some bad news about one of her cubs? The final seconds of the weekly promo teases Laura, stumbling upon something outside that literally has her screaming in fright as she clutches her car keys. What has Mayor Collins so terrified? See it all for yourself in the previews. Let us know what you think is going to happen in the comments section, and be sure to check out our first look photos for a sneak peek at what's happening on all of the soaps this week, including General Hospital. In our next story today, the tune-in alert from behind the gates, I Don't Know Where Else to Turn, by Diane Brunstein. So in love. The action in the Beyond the Gates spoilers preview for the week of November the 17th opens in a Los Angeles hotel room, where Danny and Andre are on their impromptu honeymoon, basking in the romance of their getaway as they sip champagne. To my wife, I love you, he tells Danny as he tips his champagne flute toward her. Danny smiles and says to her new husband, I love you too. They clink their flutes to seal the toast. Inquiring minds, back in the DMV at the Fairmont Crest Country Club, Anita and Vernon are mid-discussion. So are you going to tell me what this little secret is, or do I have to start guessing? And you know how vivid my imagination is, she tells him, lowering her voice to make it clear just how serious she is. Will Vernon open up about his secret meetings with Sharon? Apparently not. He answers with a deflection. Well, not as vivid as Leslie's. Turning the tables, speaking of Leslie, the scene shifts as she pays Ted a visit at his office looking for advice. I don't know where else to turn, she tells her ex-lover. He is not moved in the slightest by her crocodile tears. I think you walk around dropping matches and act surprised when the fire starts, he tells her. Will Leslie get angry that he isn't taking her seriously, or will she finally get real with him? Crossing the line, Ted and Leslie's daughter, Ava, finds herself on the receiving end of harsh words from Ted's other daughter, Kat, when the two cross paths at Uptown. Finding out that Ted asked Ava to call him dad is still a deep wound for Kat, and she lets her half-sister have it. I wish your mother had gotten rid of you, because we'd all be living our best lives if you never had been born, Kat snaps. A bad wife. Haley is having the time of her life as she drops some more poison in husband Bill's mug. Proud of herself, she says out loud while practically dancing with glee, one small dose for Bill, one giant leap toward a $10 million payout for Haley. Unaware that Bill's daughter, Naomi, has walked into the room. See it all for yourself in the videos. Let us know what you think is going to happen in the comments section, and be sure to check out our spoilers gallery for a look at what's next on all of the soaps this week of November 17th, including Beyond the Gate. In our next story today, the Young and Restless video promo, Do I Have Your Attention? By Diane Brunstein. What happens in L.A.? Things are heating up in the Young and Restless spoilers preview for the week of November the 17th. The action opens in Crimson Lights, where Claire wants to take a moment to speak with Holden. I think we need to talk about what happened in L.A., Claire tells Holden. Does she want to bring the passion they shared in California back to Genoa City? Or is she looking to put the entire adventure behind her now that they're home? Sparks ignite? After Lily gives him the brush off once again, Kane tracks down Phyllis at the Genoa City Athletic Club. She has been teasing him, saying she wants to be with him, and now that Lily seems to have finally hammered the last nail into the coffin of their relationship, he seems open to the possibility. In fact, the two end up kissing again. Do I have your attention? Phyllis wants to know, what will Kane say? And does he genuinely want to pursue something romantic with Phyllis, or is he trying to get proof that she's the one who stole his AI software program? Danger Zone. In Los Angeles, a worried Sienna discovers Noah unconscious and completely knocked out cold on the ground. Noah, wake up, she tells him, trying to help him. Oh, what happened to me? He asks, groaning. What has happened to Noah, and was it Detective Burrow or Matt who was actually responsible? On alert, at the hotel, an alarm suddenly blares to life, sending Sharon into immediate concern. What the hell? Sharon wonders as she grabs her purse. When she reaches the door, she finds Matt standing there, his eyes locked on her in a menacing stare. Ah, you, she screams, what will happen next? Get a sneak peek at some of the drama coming up this week on The Young and Restless in the previews, and share your own predictions of what's coming up in the comments section. And don't forget to check out our spoilers gallery for a look at what's next on all of the soaps this week of November the 17th. In our next story today, the tune-in alert for the days of our lives, But It's What I Have to Do, by Diane Brunstein. Common Threads, the action in this Days of Our Lives spoilers preview for the week of November the 17th begins at the Brady Pub as EJ sits on a bar stool, watching Lucas and Raffi table as they talk. Maybe she's just trying to get under our skin, Lucas suggests. Is he talking about the ex they both share, Sammy, or is he referring to someone entirely different? The scene then shifts over to Raffi at his home with Gabby. Kristen DeMira missed a bed check, he tells a shocked Gabby. What? She asks, utterly incredulous at the news she's just heard. Custodial issues. At the Horton home, Jennifer tosses aside some papers as she says out loud, But it's what I have to do. Tense music plays as the camera reveals that Jennifer is talking to Chad. and is shown as the person Jennifer is speaking with, and he doesn't look happy. Does this mean she's moving forward with her plan to fight for custody of his children? It sure appears that way when a close-up zooms in on the papers she tossed aside, unmistakably legal documents. Danger brewing. Elsewhere, gloved hands are using a dropper to pour something into a drink, with a nearby takeout bag from Fork Noodles displaying the name Alex Caracas. Is someone poisoning food that was ordered by Alex and Stephanie? At Marlena's townhouse, Brady is confronting Xander. "Here, I thought you had your anger under control," Brady taunts his uncle. Xander steps closer to him and says, "Not when you tell me you're going after my wife." Later in the preview, Xander is shown holding an envelope while he's at the university hospital. Was he there to see his estranged wife, Sarah, who is a doctor on staff there? Indeed he is. "Sign the divorce papers," he says as she studies the envelope he is holding. At the Brady pub, Sarah is trying to comfort a crying Victoria. Or is it Sarah who is suffering? As that is happening, Brady swings a panicked gaze toward his daughter Rachel, who appears both deeply worried and unmistakably guilty. "Rachel, what did you do?" he asks. "Has Rachel acted out yet again?" And with the consequences even more dire this time around. See it all for yourself in the preview videos. Let us know what you think is going to happen in the comments section. And be sure to check out the spoilers gallery for a sneak peek at what's happening on all of the soaps this week, including Days of Our Lives. And in our next story today, the tune-in alert, the bold and beautiful spoilers, The Hunt for Luna, by Chris Eads. The bold and beautiful spoilers for the week of November the 17th previews chaos erupting with a maniac on the loose. After Luna escapes from prison, Bill and Katie fear the worst. And though the police try to keep Will from doing something reckless, Lee and Poppy head off into the night to search for the escaped convict. Will she give them the slip, or will tragedy ensue? On the run, desperate to reinsert herself into Will's life, Luna put into action her plan to slip into a prison laundry basket in order to get out from behind the bars and back into the arms of the man she loves. But her escape doesn't remain a secret for long, as a guard quickly discovers that the body sleeping in Luna's bed is nothing but pillows positioned under a sheet. "Code red," she calls into her walkie-talkie as alarms begin to sound. "Lock it down." At the Spencer estate, Katie can tell immediately that Bill's dour expression means nothing good. "Don't say it," she begs. Bill reports Luna escaped. Of course, Katie's first thought is for her son, who is the target of the criminal's obsession. "Will," she cries out, "is there anything they can do to protect their child?" It appears that Luna attempted to make contact with Will, because at the beach house, he's trying to press the cops into action. "She went that way," he yells, pointing out into the night. "We've got to go right now," but Lieutenant Baker holds the young man back. "No," he orders, "you're her target." Back inside the house, Will is talking with Electra and Ivy when the front door opens. "Where is she?" Poppy asks bluntly, as Lee, Sheila, and Deacon follow her inside. "Where is that little bitch?" Soon enough, a search kicks off with Lee and Poppy maneuvering carefully through the foggy night, using their cell phone flashlights to guide them there. "Luna," Lee calls out into the darkness, "do the right thing. Turn yourself in." In the tall grass, Luna springs from her hiding place and takes off running into the fog. How will this manhunt end? Share your thoughts about what's coming up on The Bold and Beautiful in the comments section, and be sure to check out the First Look Spoilers Gallery for a look at what's next on all of the soaps. In our next story today, the Tune-In Alert, the episode guide for General Hospital, The Young and Restless, Days of Our Lives, Beyond the Gates, and The Bold and Beautiful for the week of November 17th, by Michelle Parkerton. From Beyond the Gates, On Monday, November 17th, the episode of Beyond the Gates, Kat turns to an unexpected source for guidance. Bill issues a warning to Jacob. Danny and Andre decide to make a major investment. And Leslie's involvement in Winterfest stirs emotions with some old friends. Ava and Isaiah's connection deepens on Tuesday, November the 18th. Ted unexpectedly becomes a shoulder to cry on. Smitty and June have an overdue heart-to-heart while Samantha's punishment causes discomfort for her entire family. And Vernon and Sharon meet under watchful eyes. On Wednesday, November the 18th, Kat and Martin's feud hits a boiling point. Ava has some tough questions to answer for her dad. Danny and Andre receive an important delivery, then make a declaration that will affect their future, and Leslie tries to extort another Dupree. Martin chooses a side during a sibling rivalry on Thursday, November the 20th. Shanice puts Leslie on notice. Naomi deflects Bill's questions about the state of her marriage while having to extend an apology to Haley. And Ted helps an ailing Peaches out. On Friday, November the 21st, Anita doesn't mince words with both Thomas's women. Tyrell shocks his dads with his choice for the future. Nicole received an offer from Carlton. Martin seeks some much-needed advice from his granddaughter. And Vernon makes plans for another clandestine date. From The Bold and Beautiful, The Bold and Beautiful teasers were not available at press time this week, so we will have that next week. From Days of Our Lives, as Javi points the finger at Gabby on Days on Monday the 17th, Eric and Bill have it out with EJ. On Tuesday, November the 18th, Theo and Jada spend time together on a date, while three of Sammy's most notable exes, EJ, Raffi, and Lucas, gather together to discuss her. Johnny and Chanel find that parenthood isn't all that easy on Wednesday, November the 19th, and Sean steps up to offer Belle some support. While Xander expresses his gratitude toward Brady on Thursday, November the 20th, Rachel makes Sarah her target. EJ gives Kayla reason to be suspicious of him, and Rachel confronts her dad and Sarah on Friday, November the 21st. From General Hospital, on Monday the 17th, Britt and Emma face off. Lulu confides in Carly. Trina wants to confess. Alexis confers with Felicia, and Dante loses his temper. Jason offers an apology on Tuesday, November the 18th. Dante opens up to Lulu. Sidwell is left fuming. Britt issues an ultimatum, and Brennan questions Carly. On Wednesday, November the 19th, the election results are in. Alexis briefs Jason. Emma is outrageous, and Vaughn summons Jocelyn, and Nathan provides an ear to Lulu. Laura makes a shocking discovery on Thursday, November the 20th. Britt is shaken. Lucas and Marco dine with Ava. Michael introduces Jacinda to Sonny, and Chase furthers his investigation. On Friday, November the 21st, Michael pays peacemaker. Chase has news for Alexis. Marco makes a big decision, and Gio confides in Sonny, and Jason grills Britt. From The Young and Restless, on Monday the 17th, Phyllis and Kane's alliance takes an interesting turn. Claire and Holden clear the air, and Lily confronts Adam and Chelsea about their scheming. Victor helps Nick retaliate against Matt Clark. Jack interrogates Nikki, and Phyllis and Kane turn up the heat on Tuesday the 18th. Nikki gives Claire a history lesson on Wednesday, November the 19th. Audra plots her next move, and Lily commiserates with Holden. On Thursday, November the 20th, Nick digs for dirt. Noah and Sienna fall into a trap, and Sharon stands her ground with Matt Clark. Family and friends gather for cricket and Danny's long-awaited wedding on Friday, November the 21st. In our next story today, the young and restless Sharon Case promises, "I'm going to give him hell," as Sharon takes on Matt Clark, an exclusive by Mara Levinsky. Over the course of her 31-year career playing Sharon on The Young and Restless, Sharon Case has had to do on-screen battle with more than a few villains, including ones she thought were dead. Late last month, the show kicked off a new arc for the character featuring the surprise return of one of the baddest bad guys ever to darken her doorstep. Matt Clark, now playing by daytime vet Roger Howarth, Soap Opera Digest checked in with the Daytime Emmy-winning actress for her take on Matt's resurrection and to tease what Sharon fans can expect as the story progresses. Something wicked this way comes. Case found out that Matt, Sharon's teenage beau, turned tormentor, was heading back to the Genoa City universe the way so many daytime actors learn of major upcoming twists, by hearing whispers of it on the set. Recalls Case, "I heard it in passing when I was just on stage and people were hanging around talking. I heard the name Matt Clark, and then I said to Josh, I heard there's going to be a Matt Clark storyline. Oh my gosh, I knew that Noah was coming back and that he had been in an accident and was in the hospital. But that's all I knew. So when I heard about Matt Clark, I said to the executive producer, Josh Griffin, when I saw him, oh, I heard this is a Matt Clark storyline. How exciting." The actress was immediately on board. "I love when they bring Sharon's old villains back from the past," she enthused, "and they're still after her, like Cameron Kristen was. And I loved everything we did with Cameron Kristen. I was like, it's not over. We keep playing this kind of stuff because now Matt Clark's come back." I think of it in terms of this being classic soap opera storytelling, you know? There's always villains coming back from the dead. Nobody's ever really dead. Sheila Carter came back over and over again. We had Diane come back, and that's just one of the great things, the silliness or greatness or whatever you want to call it, about soaps. People always come back, and I'm glad that I have another soapy, fun story to tell. Only the good die young. Many men have stirred up troubles for Sharon over the course of her years on Genoa City residency, but Matt Clark, who was originally played by Eddie Cibrian, was the first genuine bad guy she had to contend with and was part of her introductory storyline back in 1994. "He was always a bad guy, even in the early days," Case notes. "He was doing bad things, and Sharon had to survive him, you know. He raped her, he attacked Nikki. He falsely accused Nikki of attempted murder and was shot in 1995. The true culprit turned out to be Amy Wilson, another young woman Matt had raped and got him put in prison. I mean, he was doing bad stuff from the very beginning." The character's villainy kicked up a notch, or several, when he came back to town in the early 2000s, and the role was taken over by Rick Hurst, who now plays Rick Lansing on General Hospital. "Fabulous actor," praises Case. "He was wonderful to work with, and I remember when he kidnapped Sharon, we shot some scenes on location, and we did an overnight shoot up in a cabin in Griffin Park. It was the first time I ever did an overnight shoot where you call time is late. Once it gets back and you're shooting all evening, that was really fun." Matt Clark 3.0, as played by Howarth, is an even more formidable enemy, Case says. "He just gets worse and worse with age. He gets more and more full of rage and vendettas. He started out bad, I mean, obviously disturbed, but he just gets angrier and angrier at the world, and it takes out on Sharon and Nick. And now we have Roger in the role, and he's amazing. I'm thankful and grateful that I get to work with him." I see dead people. Howarth made his Young and Restless debut when Sharon bumped into Mitch Bacall, as Matt is now calling himself, outside of the Shadow Room, the Los Angeles nightclub he runs with wife Sienna. And the second she lays eyes on him, Sharon knew exactly who he really was. But given that Matt had a notorious on-screen death back in 2001, when the hospitalized villain yanked out his breathing tube and placed it in Nick's arms to frame Nick for murder, playing the moment required Case to pull out a special soap-honed skill, reacting to the sight of a supposedly dead person. Says Case, when someone comes back from the dead, the actors often make fun or talk about it. How do you really play this? How do you react in a scene when you realize somebody's not dead and you see them for the first time and you're like, oh, you're not dead? Like, that generally doesn't happen in real life, so we don't know what expression goes on your face in that scene. I remember I had to play a scene in the coffee house where I realized Diane Jenkins is not dead. This is not a person of significance to Sharon, but you still got to play it. It's just part of the soap operas, and we leave it that way. So I had to do that on the Halloween show when I see Matt Clark at the club. That was probably my best one because I've been getting good at it lately. In the moment, she muses, what I was trying to convey was shock and fear and horror. He was that terrible to her, and he's that horrible of a memory, but also she's seeing a ghost. It was Halloween when it aired, so it was kind of trying to make it jarring and scary to go along with the spookiness of the holiday. But I think even if it weren't Halloween, that's still what he brings about or evokes from Sharon, for sure. She's rattled to the core. Never let them see you sweat. Given their ugly history, Sharon has good reason to be terrified of seeing Matt in the flesh. But when she got in his face on the November 12th episode, demanding that he fess up to not being Mitch, she was hardly cowering in fear. Observes the actress, I think Sharon starts getting tougher and very upset and angry with him when she confronts him. Seeing him again makes her anger come back, and it reminds her of all of the horrible things that he did and the games that he played and his lies. I think she's just disgusting and angry as all get out. And highly determined to get him to admit that he is not who he claims to be, Case thinks that after hallucinating Cameron last year, there is a tiny bit of her that maybe questions whether she's wrong about Matt's identity. Sharon has been through a lot and was imagining seeing Cameron, so she does check herself like, am I losing it? But that self-doubt is but a blip. She knows that he's lying, Case asserts. She knows he's back, so he lied about his death, and he's going to cause trouble, so of course she wants him to admit that he's Matt Clark. Guess again, where the story goes from here, says Case, will take viewers by surprise. Just when you think, oh, okay, we know Matt Clark, he's a bad guy, he's probably going to do just X, Y, or Z bad thing. It turns in a way that you wouldn't think, and then, just when you think you've gotten a hold of that and that you get the storyline, it twists again. Coming back from the dead is a classic soap story, she adds. But what is not necessarily common is the different twists that we have over and over again. I think the audience won't be able to guess who comes into the story next and how it turns. One thing is for certain, though. If Matt thinks that he'll have an easy time victimizing Sharon, he's in for an unpleasant surprise. I'm going to give him hell, assures Case. That's all for this week. Thank you for joining me today for Soap Opera Digest. I'm Pete Peek for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.